It's me, Lily, a frog who lives in a pond and loves to tell stories. This one's a Halloween story, and I'm not sure if it's a true story or a make-believe one. Maybe you can tell me whether you think it's true or not. I'll tell you where I heard it from. I took a trip down south this fall, and on my way back home, I stopped to admire the leaves changing color in a beautiful maple valley in Quebec. And that's where I met a little forest gnome. He is a busy gnome, always helping out forest creatures in distress. He wears a backpack full of forest foods and medicines and a pointy green gnome hat and carries a birch knot bow. And everywhere he goes, he's followed by a tribe of dragonflies. He told me this story, and he told me a bear told him, and that a goose told the bear, and a boy told the goose. Who told the boy? We don't know. Once upon a time, on the East Coast, or maybe it was the West Coast, there was a happy little village, busy preparing for winter. They were tapping maple trees for syrup and grinding wheat for pancakes, picking mushrooms and blueberries to dry and store, and chopping firewood for their stoves. When the village children ran shouting from the beach about an enormous ship heading straight to their shores. The ship was taller than the trees, and it had at least 100 sails, and it looked like it might be on fire. The villagers put down their pails of maple syrup and their axes, and they ran to the shore with their children. The boat was moving fast, and they screamed, thinking it would crash onto the shore, but all of a sudden, the enormous ship stopped. The sails all furled and lowered, and the ship drifted calmly into the harbor and was still. The villagers couldn't believe their eyes. They had never seen such a fine, magnificent ship. It wasn't on fire. It was just so burnished that it looked almost as if it were made of gold, gleaming in the sunshine. The villagers waited for the captain and crew to disembark from the ship, but they waited a long, long time, and nobody appeared over the gunwales. Nobody climbed down the rope ladder into the shallows. Nobody waved from the bow or the port. So the villagers decided to approach the ship cautiously. They waded through the cold water and climbed up the ladder. Carefully, they explored the ship, calling out, "Hello? Anyone there?" and knocking on all the cabin doors. Nobody answered. Except for the villagers, there was no one on board the ship at all. But there were treasure chests overflowing with gold coins. There were treasure chests overflowing with jewels. There were barrels of wine and rolls of fine fabric. There were spices and minerals and silverware and golden goblets and bottles of perfume. There was a cheese cellar in the ship, and a sausage cellar, and a cellar full of gold watches and jewel-encrusted tiaras. There were cases and cases of little brown bricks labeled chocolate. What could that be? Wondered the villagers. What could chocolate be for? In the ship's hold, there were no weapons, only piles of pumpkins and turnips and onions. How odd, said the villagers. And even stranger, there was a feast laid out in the captain's cabin with roasted vegetables and meat, an enormous platter of tropical fruits with a golden pineapple at the center. It all looked fresh and smelled delicious, and the candelabra was lit. The candle flames flickered and danced. The villagers were about to consume the feast laid out in the captain's cabin, but the littlest among them, a little boy, said, "Stop! I have a bad feeling about this ship. I worry this treasure is cursed. The mayor patted the little boy on the head and said, I think the child is right. We shouldn't touch the ship's treasure until we know who it belongs to. So the villagers left it all alone and went back to their village, which before seemed to have everything they needed, but now the village seemed poor. They had pancakes and syrup and warm, jolly fires. They had each other, and they had fiddles to play, but they didn't have golden pineapples and silk curtains. They didn't have goblets of rum and handfuls of jewels. And then the cold winds of October started to blow, and the snow clouds gathered above the little village, and the oldest of the villagers could feel deep in their bones that it would be a long, terrible winter. And then the villagers changed their mind. They ran towards the treasure ship in their nighties, carrying candles and lanterns and shouting, me first and mine and no fare. They ate and they ate and they drank and they drank and they stuffed their pockets and pillowcases full of treasure. Everyone but the little boy ate and looted. He didn't touch a thing. Not until someone cracked open one of the boxes labeled chocolate. Then the boy sniffed the chocolate and decided to try just a little taste. And soon he found himself stuffing bar after bar into his mouth, marveling about how anything could taste as delicious as chocolate. At one point, a gust of wind blew out everyone's candles and lanterns, and a strange feeling passed over the villagers standing in the dark. Should we be here? They asked. Should we be doing this? But the mayor chopped open a pumpkin and scooped out the guts, cutting some holes in the shell so the pumpkin would protect his candle from the unnerving wind, and he lit it again. And other villagers did the same until the ship was alight with glowing pumpkins, and the treasure started gleaming again in the candlelight, and the villagers kept eating and drinking and bickering over who saw what first until the ship was completely empty. Then a strange sound filled the night. It was like a low whistle, faint at first, then louder and louder until it stopped everyone in their tracks, and a skeleton holding a flaming pumpkin appeared at the ship's helm. Hear ye, said he. This is my ship and my treasure, and it is cursed. Whoever took a piece of my treasure must return it, or else ye shall be in my debt forevermore. The ship's sails all dropped down and started flaming above the villagers. They screamed in terror. The whistling sound became deafening, and they covered their ears. A blast of heavy fog rolled over everyone and everything. The villagers began to empty their pockets and their sacks, bumping into each other, doing their best to return everything they took. They put the jewels and the coins and the giant wheels of cheese and rolls of fabric and golden goblets back. But how could they return the food they ate? How could they return the chocolate in their bellies? The skeleton pirate ordered everyone off his ship, back into the icy cold waters of the harbor. They watched him sail away into the strange fog, all the flaming pumpkins and turnips they had carved surrounding him, glowing in the dark night. I will return, he shouted. On this day, forevermore, I will send my minions to your doors until I've collected everything you took from me. Every October 31st, I will send skeletons, pirates, monsters, and witches. I will send ghosts and zombies and werewolves and vampires, and you must give them what is rightfully owed to me. Now, like I said, I'm not sure if this is a true story or not, but maybe watch and see what happens on October 31st this year. Will little monsters come knocking at your door? If so, you better pay them their due, a chocolate bar. or maybe two.